Edge with April Mahoney Brains. You are back at the spot right here, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today we have Magdalena Raj. We are going to talk about being a high impact coach. Now, there's some coaches, there's some median coaches, but there's some high impact coaches. And I want us to talk about really what that looks like. Who is her ideal client? Who can keep up with this pace? What is the expectation of the coach as well as the client? Because they have to intersect. She uses a bunch of different special modalities to get you motivated, to keep you focused, to keep you, on track, which is very important. And she's writing a book. So we're going to talk to her about that and a whole lot more. Let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Magdalena?
I am great and thrilled to be here, April.
Well, I'm so glad to have you.
I'm excited about it because of the topics you cover and because of the way your discussions go. So I'm looking forward to some fun.
Oh, well, I'm telling you, we're going to chop it up like Ginsu knives. How about that? So let's start at the beginning. Tell my brains a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Sure. So you mentioned high impact coach, and I'll just say the high impact is because there's so many areas in our life that impact falls into place. There's the one you want to make. There's the impacts that happen to you. There's the impacts that you can have on others around you. And that, actually, let me start with my vision, if you will.
Absolutely.
I really want to change how human daily interactions happen across the world. Mm. I'd like them to happen in ways that are more collaborative and more uplifting.
Okay, that's a tall order.
It is. But I just think about it. If, when you mention impact and you think about that, you drive down the road and somebody cuts you off, what happens in that moment? And how long? It's a little moment, but how long might that impact go on? Some people can brush it off. Other people, it can go to the other extreme, right?
Okay.
With it.
Exactly.
So all of our little interactions that we have, we don't always consciously think about the ripples that they send out. How you speak to your child when they've done something, maybe for the 55th or the 1,055th or the 5,000th time, right?
Absolutely.
What comes out of you? What's that little ripple that went away? So in changing that dynamic and kind of maybe thinking about yourself and bringing your best self into the situation rather than where the other person's at, what might that do and how might that shift how you step out of that moment, how they step out of that moment, and how the rest of your day goes? So for me as a coach, that's kind of my little space of helping that along. What can I do when I work with my clients, which are a lot of driven high achievers?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? They're really not quite willing to have the success come at the cost of the rest of their life anymore.
Mm.
And that's where the conversation begins.
Absolutely. Well, you said a couple of things that are very pointed. Are we busy? I hear people, I'm so busy, busy, busy doing what? Are you impactful and insightful?
Mm.
What are you doing with this busy? Are you meeting on the meeting to see what we're meeting about? Are you a problem describer or a solution seeker? These are the kind of things that I want people to toss around in their brain and consider. Also, you talked about the thing in traffic, being caught up in a traffic situation. I was in China. And our driver, we stopped at the intersection, several of them, and people would bump the horn and people would wave. I felt like I was in a parade. I was like, what's up with that? He says, you know why? Because you have avoided a conflict.
Wow.
They acknowledge you and appreciate you because you did not run over their duck. You did not hit their car. You didn't hit grandma as she was trying to walk across the street with her cane. They appreciate that. So now when people bump the horn, I'm that Barbie. I'm smiling and it's all in how you process it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I woke up at 60 years old, I had an aha moment. It was like, April, how are you going to receive these things? How are you going to process them? Do you even give a shit anymore? Some things you just don't care about. How much energy are you willing to put into that? So I appreciate the recipe that you have concocted for these high achievers because they're dangling sometimes by a thread. They have the overachiever syndrome. They have to be competitive. They're the perfectionist. They're the, the wife by day and the, concubine at night. You don't know what's going on in people's lives, really. So you help them edit and filter and process all of that. When you do an intake with a new client, what are some of the boxes that you tick off?
So, I'm going to tag on to what you were saying and then come back and answer your question because you landed right on actually with the content of my book that's coming up, but on something that I hit out of the gate, usually when I'm speaking, which is the roles that we play. And actually I say, you know what, when you meet somebody, one of the first things you say is, so what do you do? And they say, well, I'm a podcast host, I'm a coach, I'm a teacher, I'm an engineer. Any of a number of things. And we all kind of nod and think, all right, I got it. And we move on. But it's not really true because they ask what you do. You tell them what you are. And that's really just the title of your main role. And we play 35, 45, 50 on a given day. Now I'll give you a little snippet. Let me play with you a little bit. You're fun. We can play a little, right? So you get up in the morning and you're a fashion critic. Picking out what you're going to wear, even if it's only from the waist up, right? If you've got a spouse or a partner, then maybe there's a little bit of a lover there for the 5 minutes you get to peck them on the cheek before you run down to be a drill sergeant and get your kids up. Then you get to go be a short order cook making them breakfast. And somewhere in there, you're a logistics expert because you're figuring out who's going here, when, why, and getting picked up when. And then maybe you're a vet checking on what the cat just kind of brought up for you. Then you got to do and be a chauffeur. You may be a little bit of a therapist if you've got to calm one of them down. And somewhere in there, maybe before you sit down at your desk or you sit down in front of the screen, you're a makeup artist. Well, I could have thrown a lot more in there. And it's kind of silly to say because it seems like, well, those are just things I do. But you know what? I could go through the day and tell you a ton more in the job that you have and the title that you have and how there's so much more. And
Absolutely.
then the weekend and on. But your body knows the role. And the thing about roles is they come with baggage. And sometimes they're beautiful baggage, like Louis Vuitton baggage, but there's a lot of them. They're steamer trunks. And that's because of the energy and the effort and the emotion that's involved. And that energy, effort, and emotion is yours. So when you move between roles, your body is trying sometimes to catch up. We're sitting here today, and we probably might not sit like this or look like this if we were at a ball game or standing in the grocery store and we're, are they checked out yet? What are they doing there? Or if you're making a business pitch, how does your body react? How does the language that you use and how do you move in that moment? Or back in the day, it was like the hottie across the bar. You had a whole different body language going on. You didn't have to tell yourself that. So as we move between these roles, you talked about the many ones we play, we're just one person. It's like the nonsense of work-life balance, as though the seesaw means something. We bring it with us, and how we navigate that is how the impact that we can make, how we show up, and the pieces around that. So one of the first things we do is we start to talk about the roles that my client has. And when they start to dissect it and look at it differently, then they start to see, ooh, these roles come with all of this impact. And it's because of the expectations. Because in so many ways, we don't own the expectation. We're not the owner. It's other people that are. If I looked at define mother, your role, your perception of what the role of mother should be may be very different than your spouse's could be. Than your mother's would be, than your mother-in-law's would be, and definitely different than your kids, because they tell us all the time, Joshua's mom lets us do this. Annie's mom lets them do that. They'll tell you when you're not measuring up to the role of their expectations for the role of mother. So we carry that and we feel that. And that's one of the first things we start to decipher and we start to play with because you know what? It starts to get them back time and energy.
Right.
We put like 5 hours back in their week or more right out of the gate just looking at some of that. We spend
I
so
tell people
much
all the
time.
time, you're sending your representative. When you go into any situation, let's talk about the salesperson just for a second. People have this negative connotation of what a salesperson is. Sales is not sleazy brain, sales is psychology. Are providing value, or you should be selling to value. Let the person talk, see if you can color in the white spaces as to what they need. But you are still sending your representative. It could be the chauffeur, it could be the high profile executive, it could be the fashion designer, it could be the makeup artist, it could be all of those many things that you outlined, and you did that brilliantly because I ran that through my mind and I was like, okay, I could think of about five or six more during the course of 24 hours.
Oh, sure.
And you keep shifting. So when you go in and you again dissect that and you tell a person, hey, this is who you are, but this is not the totality of who you are. You are still so much more. You are this high impact coach. Well, you're working with a high impact coach that's going to help you manage the stress because that's stressful, juggling all the
It is.
balls in the air. It could
It is
start
that.
depression, self-medicating, anxiety. What are some of the effects that you see from people that have the overachiever syndrome or that it is really running on empty?
You know, it's great that you mentioned that because one of the things with all these roles is you get role collision. So there's a couple different things that'll happen with it. So there's the role, the main role, right? But then when we tease those other ones out, that's when you start to go, is this something that really should be on my plate or does it have to be? And you can move things that way. So there's kind of like the major roles, the minor roles, and then there's the stick-on roles. Those are the ones where you think it's a temporary thing or it's a one-time thing. And it's like, but you're so good at it. It usually comes with a, you're so good at it. And it becomes your role. So that's something you signed up for. And if you don't get rid of it the right way, it will boomerang right back. And then you touched on a couple with the overachiever and the high achiever and some of that, the piece in there, the imposter syndrome, procrastinator. Those are kind of your stealth roles. So those come along from childhood, things that you've got the pleaser in there. Like, what were those hidden roles that you grew up understanding? You're the good one. You're the jerk. You are the this, you're the that. And those kind of sit there too. And those are the ones we also tease out. Those are when you play with the positive intelligence, those are kind of your saboteurs and your sages. So, what's going on behind the scenes that's pulling you mixed up with these other roles? And you talk about the confliction and the confusion because. Because two of them or three of them are fighting at once. And it's almost like we can stutter between them. Or we mask it and it looks great here, but it's really going on behind the scenes.
So when you pull back the layers of this onion and you start to cry, and you really realize that, this is more than I can withstand. And, the Bible says, God's not going to give you more than you can handle. Let us pray. because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And then you're doing all these things for other people. A lot of times we get lost in the shuffle, Magdalena.
That's
We
exactly it.
forget who we really are. We forget how to play. We forget how to be quiet. We forget how to have that childlike innocence again. How do you reignite that in a person that is overwhelmed?
So where, as we go through it and we tease through the different things, and I mentioned like the seesaw. So let me give you three kind of toys. And they tie to their kids' toys, but how it ties to the shifts that can be made. There's three major shifts, three catalysts that change your life. The first one is think about any movie you've seen with an airplane. If there's kind of something dire going on and they go to the cockpit, you're going to see a dial up there and it has like the airplane wings and it goes like this, right? It is a device in there that's telling the pilot how the plane is, whether it's yawing or it's up or it's down or it's turning. And it really started with a child's top, the spinning top. And over time, that migrated into something called a gyroscope. And the gyroscope remains steady when things move around it. So it can be used as a constant. And they have it in helicopters, planes, they have it in submarines. They actually have it in spaceships on a space station, and it's back here in your inner ear. It's how we know when we're out of balance. So the first thing you do is your core. And your core, you need a vibrant core that's spinning, but that's steady, that you can guide by. And that's your gyroscope. And that kind of consists of who are you? And a lot of times we've forgotten. Or we have this picture from, 20 years ago of who we think we are. Who are you? Where do you want to go? And how do you want to show up in the world on that journey? And it's really based on your values, your beliefs, your non-negotiables, which a lot of times we've run rampant over those. So when you put that together and you start to get a core, then you have a centerpiece you move from. You know what's important in your world. And then the next thing is you need an intentional culture. Now, that's kind of an unusual word to use with one person, because we think about a culture as a people, right? It's the customs, maybe the language, the food, the different things about it that make it unique. What's your unique culture? And especially for parents, it's a big deal, because what are you doing in the household? How do you have a culture? Do you have a culture of achievement? Great. Do you also have a culture of failure? Now, this isn't how everybody gets a trophy, but how did you handle failure? Because it means you tried. Do you have a culture of accomplishment, which is steps along the way? And do you have a culture of celebration? Do you only celebrate the big one, which many high achievers and driven people do? It's a big one, and then they're critiquing it. Well, yeah, it was great. Yeah, it felt good for a day, and now I'm on to the next thing, right? Take that culture of celebration. As you do these goals, these smaller goals, you need to write down what your celebration is going to be too, because your body doesn't get to feel it. It gets an hour, 5 minutes, an hour, maybe an evening out of celebration, maybe it's an event, and then you're right back in it after all that effort you've gone through. So how do you break it up so your body is feeling that along the way, so you stay juicy and you're like recognizing that? One other one that's, I have a list of them, but another one that I think is interesting is, do you have a culture of consumption or do you have a culture of nourishment? What are you taking in? The things you read, the things you look at, the things that you land on? Is it something that actually is enriching you, or is it something that's kind of acting like a palliative? You said those other things that kind of we use when we get exhausted. How do we kind of change that dynamic? So you get back to being juicy you, because it's so often we forget we have li a life, and it can be an extraordinary life, not in the future, but right now. And work, and I have 12 dimensions we go through, by the way. It's not the seesaw nonsense. That's the kid's toy we throw out. So you have a 360 person, right? All these other aspects, how do they come back together and how do they work for you? And what is the means that let you get to the goal you want to achieve, like your vision or your mission? When you get back into that, you remember this is my life. And how are these things serving me? Not just how am I serving everything else? You need both. And then, and I kind of use a visual on it too, is there's you see these orb puzzles where there's a ball at the bottom of it. It's encased in clear plastic. There's a ball at the bottom, and you try to get it to the top, and it kind of goes through these meandering paths. And it's something to think about when you're looking at the culture and the things that you surround yourself with, and you're doing your intake and your learning. That's supporting you, because as you go through life, we then go to the two-dimensional charts, right? You're here, you're there, you're here, you hit the horrible plateau, you're here, you're there. I would say throw that out. Shift your consciousness to it's three dimensions. So you're here, but when you don't see movement, it's because you've gone around the back of something and you're picking up another skill you need to have. And you're picking up another skill you have, just like when you're going around that maze ball. And then you leapfrog. Why? Because you caught everything up and now you're ready to take that next step. And I think that is a better perspective to take than to be disappointed when you think you're sitting just here. So that's the second, the toy. And then the last thing, so you have your vibrant core, you have your intentional culture, and then you need to have dynamic alignment. And that's where you really get into the little pieces. What are the things that keep sustain you? Because you can know your what and you can know your why. We live in how. We focus on the big rocks. It's a big corporate thing, a business thing. You put the big rocks in first so you can get after it. And then you put the smaller rocks, then you put the sand. So I'm going to throw it and spin it on you and go, you know what? If I've got a rock in my shoe, I can get it out. I got a pebble, I can get it out. If I've got sand in my shoe, it can rub and irritate and it can cause me pain. So how I handle the sand is actually also important. And that's the interactions. That's everyday life. How do you go through those in ways that uplift you, that you're not thinking about the comment that was made, or you're thinking about how you could have done it differently and you're wasting time and energy backwards? How do you manage the sand? What do you do with that? So that's where things like positive intelligence, where you take yourself in a moment in all those roles and you go, where am I right now? And who do I want to be when I step into that room?
Right.
Who do I want to be in this conversation with the fifth call to the call center? Like I was not trying to fix something. We all know that one, right? It's a good thing there's a mute button. But meanwhile, your body's getting like this, you're like this. And what happens in the next interaction you have after you get off that phone? It spills.
Or when the person actually picks up the phone, you're so wound up that you unload on them, and you know, and that wasn't the intention. As you waited 30 minutes, wait a minute, and then they hit the button, because I worked in a call center, so I know how it goes. They hit the button that puts you back in the loop, or you get disconnected.
Yep.
And that's a lot like life. You stay in the loop or you get disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do, brains, is you got to hang on the line. And when you get on the line and you get someone that's got a pulse and is breathing, give yourself a minute.
Exactly.
Give yourself a minute. Explain to them, you know, I've been on this hold for a long time. I'm a little agitated. I don't mean to take it out on you. Now let's start the conversation. Because then you've apologized in advance. You know that you were going to let loose on them. Or you've calmed yourself down and given your brain an opportunity to reset and get back to the core. You explain this like, you know, like no other. I would just love to be in the room with you. I would just float with you. Tell us what we have to look forward to in the pages of the book that you're going to be releasing.
Well, I'm going to talk about the roles. I'm going to explain them. I'm going to explain the different types. I mentioned a couple of them. And then what the things are you can start to do that help you navigate them, help you decide which ones need to leave, and which ones have you forgotten about? Maybe you've forgotten about the role of, I'm the fun mom. Or maybe you've forgotten the role of, I'm the sexy partner. Or any of the other ones that get overwhelmed by all of the others we've taken on. So how do you navigate that? So that's what the book touches on. And that's what I do in the coaching, is looking at ways you position yourself in your life as the owner of your life. Things that can prime you so that you, when you wake up in the morning, you have these techniques you go through on a regular basis, just like you practice for any sport, or any other event or something that's important. We forget, we get to practice life too. We think about it just happening in the moment, but there are things we can do that help us when we're having that phone call or we're having that conversation with the child after we've had this horrible, rotten day. How do we say, you know what, all of those roles, there's me. And how do I want to be in this moment? And that's where we go with my clients.
How did you find yourself in this space? You know, what was your experience and what was your aha moment that said, you know what, this is what I want to do. This is my niche.
Well, I had a long corporate career. So back in my corporate career days, there was a point where I lost just about everything. And it was like within a 3-month span, my marriage ended. The company I poured so much energy and effort into was one of the largest bankruptcies. So I kind of found myself there. There's no spouse, there's no income, there's no 401k, the stocks are gone. And oh, by the way, there's no severance and there's no health care because that all fell into the bankruptcy court. And the one bright shining part was my little child, my 2-year-old. And that's the reason you get up off the bathroom floor and you go, what do I got to do? I got to rebuild. And your audience, whatever their story is, have hit the rebuild point and where you transition into that. And the thing is, I knew my what. I had to rebuild. I knew my why, which was her. The how, I reached back into my toolkit and I pulled out everything that had got me where I was the first time. Only the road's a little harder. The trajectory's higher because it's shorter, right? To rebuild that. But as you go through that, especially for hard workers, especially for high achievers, people that are driven, you go after everything. And you think, which is the title of my book, Doing It All Gets You Nothing. Because that's what you do. You look to take on that hill. You look to satisfy all those things. And especially if you're multi-passionate, because you're good at it. You can do this and you can do that. And you wind up treating yourself at some point like an infinitely renewable natural resource. And we know those don't exist, really. And instead, you're moving towards extinction. Now, I didn't see that till later in hindsight. You know, you're running and everybody looks like they're doing well until you start to talk quietly in a corner one day. And then you find out the marriages that are cracking and the health that's going and the different pieces that are happening. And when I looked at that and I was living through it, I was smart. I read books. I thought I'm a DIYer. I can handle this. And it wasn't until I got further along that I said, something's got to answer this. So when I left my corporate career, that's what I dug into. And I said, I want to be the person for someone else that I didn't really have, because it's not family and it's not friends. You want someone that can call you out on your blind spots. I want to be that person for someone else. So their journey is easier, because when that journey is tough, the walls can kind of close in and you can't bring your best self, your best ideas and all of those things into fruition. You may be bringing really great ones, but it's coming out of you. You're never replenishing. So how do you do that better? Because the better they can do that, and we can smooth that, everybody they touch in their life, it's going to be better for them. And we're going to raise that world level.
It's going to have a ripple effect. Well, you have a very audacious goal.
I do. I do. It's kind of crazy. I came up with it.
Well, I'm a big dreamer too, you know, and we have to stop thinking small and playing small. It's a big world out there. And we have the capacity if we allow ourselves the bandwidth. If you pulling back and forth, moving left and right, sometimes you are going to fall, but that fall is going to set you up for the next great, adventure. Look at you now. Let's ask some fun questions about you, because you have really, I got to go back and watch this a couple times and take some notes. I can't wait for the book. I'm excited. If you were an appliance in the kitchen, Magdalena, what appliance would you be and why?
Ah, an appliance in the kitchen. You know, I have way too many of those. This is, you're asking a person where this is a dangerous question. I think I'm going to go with the stove, the stovetop, because that's really the centerpiece that you can cook all the juicy good stuff from. You can throw things in a microwave, but when you want to put in the spices and you want to put in the layers and you want to put it and have all that aroma coming up and just stir the pot, but all those things, you can't help but impact things around. Somebody sniffs it upstairs. Somebody comes, oh, what's going on there? And it pulls people together because it's a great connector. So I'd go with the stove.
I think today I'd be the dishwasher. I want to be the appliance that is useful, that everybody hates to do, is the dishes. I want to be there to support you. I want to be there to clean it up. I want to, when you open it up, the steam comes out and you're shiny and you're sparkling. So I'll be the dishwasher today. If you were a flower in the garden, what flower would you be?
Ah, There's again, tough one on that one. I think peonies are really beautiful. They're like a rose in a way, but then they open up and I love them. I love those deep burgundy ones. Love that color.
Are beautiful. There's a flower garden here in San Diego, and they're about to be in bloom. And we're going to go take some pictures in it. I'll send you some. Absolutely beautiful. I would like to be a tulip. I love how they come up and they bloom. They're straight up, but once they really start to open up, they just go wild. They just go in all different directions, and there's so many different colors. They don't have much of a fragrance, but they have a strong statement. They're a statement piece. So I love those. If you were an animal, what animal would you be?
Oh, I think I would want to be a cheetah. Want to run fast. I
Really?
think that would be cool. I think a cheetah.
You got a little bit of a predator in you?
Perhaps is a touch of it, but I do think just the idea of being able to see so many things, to be in different places because you can get there quickly and you can move around, and the control they have in managing their life, right? As they move here and there, and the flexibility. And possibly because I have cats at home. So
I love
cats are on the mind. They let me live here as long as I feed them and take care of them. You know, I get to keep that job.
I know. Well, I would be the party animal. Oh, yes. I'd be the one
You
who wants
go.
to get it in. If you had a magical wish, what would it be? Anything. It doesn't have to be philosophical. What could it be? What you want?
I wish that people could see the incredible power that they have within them. We talk about empowering people, but I wish everybody could see the flame, even if it's a little tiny spark, and know that they can make it roar. And it's their birthright, it's their God-given right. Nobody gives it to them, it's theirs. Go use it. And
Absolutely.
use it for good.
If you could time travel, where would you land? Past, present, future.
Ooh. That's a really good one. I think, woo, if I could time travel, I think I might go back in time. Can I and be there for certain individuals throughout history. I would love to imagine being back at when Jesus was walking the earth and listening to him do a sermon. Imagine now I might have been alive when Gandhi was doing his thing, but listen to Gandhi. Just imagine being in the place and hearing initially what has influenced so many people throughout time.
See, I'm the polar opposite. I want to be 30-30. I want to be way out there. I want to see what they're doing. I already know what they've done. I've lived it. I've experienced it. Now I want to go forward and be an influencer and an impactor and a changer for what is yet to come. What is your superpower?
My superpower, I am a synthesizer. The different pieces and parts, and I've moved from being a fixer to a problem solver to an integrator, and now I think I'm at the point where I'm a synthesizer. So that's what I do for me, that's what I do for others, is pull those pieces together and make it sing in a particular way. Pull it together, help someone else pull their superpower together. But putting that together, the pieces from here and the pieces from there, I love to see how those things can integrate and what they can create from it.
Well, you should be a composer because you have just created the perfect symphony. Thank you so much. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you. I'd love for them to work with you. You know, jump on a call for a consultation. Really see where you are in this. You could be a housewife sitting there suppressing all of your great gifts and talents. Your husband could be making a gazillion dollars, but you're looking at yourself and you're seeing, you know, an empty vessel. You could still be a very high achiever. Don't underestimate yourself because you're not wearing that pencil skirt and that red bottom shoes and walking into the corporate office. Your achievements and your value can be assessed in so many different types of ways. You don't know what you don't know, and it's time to uncover and discover it. If you are a high achiever in a corporate environment and you're looking for some balance, some me time, some self-awareness, some peace, this is also an opportunity for you. So both sides of the spectrum, you can find value in working with Magdalena. Please tell them how to get in contact with you.
Sure. And thank you for phrasing it that way, because everybody has so many gifts and I want to see them out there. You can go to talkwithmagdalena.com and I'll provide you all these links too. And then if you want to go to show up as you, squish it all together, showupasyou.com. There's a download there you can grab, and it has some priming techniques, those things that I mentioned you can do right at the beginning of the morning, and see if after doing it for a bit, it doesn't maybe shift how you approach things in your day.
Well, it made me think, you know, again, I have to go back and delegate some of these jobs some of these other people. I mean, you know, it's a lot going on, but look at the kitty there, and everybody,
landlord.
But everybody has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. We're all energy. And so we need to use that. We need to be engaged. And I think that you are insightful. Again, I would love to be in the room with you in a corporate event. I could really see how they just hang on to every word.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, April. Nope, it's not your turn today.
So Brains, I need you to go in and do what you promised me that you were going to do. You're going to love, like, share, and subscribe. Love, like, share, and subscribe. Here on The Edge, go back and listen to other edgy conversations. We're on every podcast around the world. We are lovers. We are friends. We are high achievers. We are moms. We're dads. We're animal lovers. We are stoves. We're dishwashers. We are tulips. We are peonies. We're a whole bunch of stuff. But what we really are friends and lovers of you. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge. I appreciate you. Come back and see me again when that book's out.
I will. Thank you for having me, April. It's been a pleasure.
Bye, Brains. I love you.